This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, March 22, 2013. Democratic sponsors of a bill to repeal the death penalty say they still plan to move the measure through the state's legislature, despite concerns from Governor John Hickenlooper. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Governor Hickenlooper met with House Democrats earlier this week for their regular caucus lunch. He told lawmakers he has concerns about repealing the death penalty.
I've heard him go from, you know, I may not sign it but let it go into law, to now him saying, you know, if we can't figure out something around this, then he may veto it. So this is something that he is still processing and in some ways thinking out loud on.
That's freshman Representative Javon Melton of Aurora. He's one of the main sponsors of House Bill 1264. He says capital punishment was a key issue in his election, and he believes the death penalty is ineffective and discriminatory towards minorities.
I can't ignore the fact that the three members on death row are all African American, they're all my age, they're all male, and they're all from my district. I see glaring inequities. I can't believe that that just comes by coincidence.
The House Judiciary Committee recently heard nearly 10 hours of testimony on the bill, but delayed taking a vote. Melton says he's confident there's enough support for his bill to repeal the death penalty from most of the Democrats and at least two Republicans.
We're going to push forward with this. We're going to try to keep the caucus together. I've talked with many members on the floor, and they were not affected or moved or swayed by anything that the governor said.
But House Judiciary Chair Daniel Kagan of Denver says he thinks it might be a good time to take a step back.
I support a repeal, but I don't support pushing things forward that don't have a realistic prospect of final passage.
Kagan says the governor's been very open and everyone is trying to find common ground. And he says it doesn't have to be all or nothing. He said lawmakers could send the question to voters, which is another bill on hold. Or he says the legislature could change the criteria for death penalty eligibility.
We're dealing with matters of life and death. In and of itself, it's a very difficult vote, a very important vote. And that's why I think there's a lot of struggling and soul-searching going on, because nothing is more important.
The measure would only apply to crimes committed after July 1st, 2013. It would not be retroactive. That means it wouldn't impact current death row inmates, including Nathan Dunlap. His appeals have run out, and he could be executed this year if he doesn't get clemency from the governor. The two other people on death row are there for murdering the son of Democratic Representative Rhonda Fields, who supports the death penalty and is running the measure to send the question to voters.
It's not the first time that the possibility of a veto on a bill has been looming on controversial issues.
Democrat Claire Levy of Boulder is another main sponsor of the death penalty bill. She says the governor's struggles with the issue shouldn't preempt the conversation.
The process has to play out. That's why we legislate. We have to develop the issues and the arguments and have the debate before the governor jumps into it.
Opponents of the bill say it's naive to assume a repeal wouldn't put pressure on the governor to grant clemency to Dunlap and other death row inmates. They also worry it could have repercussions for the ongoing legal case against Aurora Theater shooting suspect James Holmes. Prosecutors will announce whether they'll ask for the death penalty in that case on April 1st. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Denver Post reports that the state legislature's Joint Marijuana Committee continues to focus on the question of how to structure the marijuana stores that Colorado voters authorized in November. The Marijuana Task Force recommended the industry be vertically integrated like medical marijuana businesses, meaning stores would have to grow what they sell. But lawmakers question whether that runs against the intent of the Marijuana Legalization Measure, Amendment 64, which doesn't prescribe a system where growers are linked to retailers. The recommendation would also provide a one-year window where only people who currently own medical marijuana businesses would be allowed to apply to run recreational marijuana shops. Representative Brian Del Grosso, a Republican from Loveland, said he worries such a restriction, quote, gives existing businesses a foothold, essentially a monopoly, end quote, on the new industry. Other lawmakers raised concerns about one proposed requirement that people live in Colorado for 2 years before they be allowed to own a recreational marijuana business, and about another that would block people convicted of a drug felony from owning a marijuana business. Representative Dan Dan Pabon, a Denver Democrat who served on the task force and helped write the proposals, said the goal is to get the regulations in place quickly and to prevent leakage of marijuana from the regulated system into the black market. For that reason, the task force borrowed heavily from medical marijuana law and made selective compromises. Despite the extensive debate Thursday morning, the committee did not take any formal votes. During a straw vote, a majority of committee members supported requiring recreational marijuana stores to have to grow only 70% of what they sell under a possible vertical integration model. The remaining 30% could be bought from other stores in a model similar to medical marijuana. The committee's next meeting is today at 1:30 p.m. The group has until the end of the month to work the task force's 58 recommendations into a bill, which would have to clear the entire legislature by the end of the session on May 8th. The state must begin taking applications for recreational marijuana stores this fall. The first shops could open around January 1st, 2014. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the Thompson Divide Coalition believes drilling would threaten some $30 million in annual economic activity occurring there now. On Wednesday, the coalition said the economic benefit was based on a study that finds nearly 300 jobs are supported by current uses of the area, including recreation. Zane Kessler, executive director of the coalition, said, quote, "The proposed oil and gas development, in our opinion, is simply incompatible with the existing uses," end quote. More than 100,000 of the acres at issue have been leased for drilling. The coalition has been seeking to stop it through means such as offering to buy companies' leases and pursuing federal legislation. The study by BBC Research in Denver found that backcountry recreation in the Thompson Divide supports 138 jobs, producing $12.6 million. Hunting and fishing supports 92 jobs and creates $8.3 million. And grazing supports 64 jobs and $11 million in economic outputs. Opponents to drilling in the area fear it could lead to contamination of watersheds necessary for cattle, wildlife, and communities. Auden Schendler, an Aspen Skiing Company vice president, said drilling on the Thompson Divide is, quote, "like burning the furniture to heat the house," end quote. David Ludlam, executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association, responded that agriculture, tourism, and recreation long have coexisted with energy development in other places. He cited La Plata County in southwest Colorado as an example. One Thompson Divide leaseholder, Willsource Enterprises, LLC, has estimated its leases alone might generate $1.5 billion in revenue. State regulators took formal enforcement actions against two energy companies Wednesday in connection with a liquid hydrocarbon leak discovered about 4 miles northwest of Parachute nearly 2 weeks ago. According to the Daily Sentinel, Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission staff issued notices of alleged violations against Williams and WPX Energy in connection with a subsurface leak that has produced about 6,000 gallons of a liquid believed to be a byproduct of natural gas development. Todd Hartman of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources said only one or two more barrels, 42 to 84 gallons, of the liquid had been recovered since Tuesday. The amounts recovered have fallen off sharply in the last few days, suggesting the flow from the unidentified source may be diminishing. However, substantial amounts of contaminated groundwater continue to be removed. More than 102,000 gallons have now been recovered, including more than 16,000 gallons on Wednesday. There continues to be no evidence of contamination of the creek, and measures, including digging interceptor trenches, have been taken to try to protect it. The notices issued Wednesday also require the companies to identify and evaluate all potential receptors of both surface and groundwater within a one-mile radius of the interceptor trenches. Groundwater is only about 10 feet below ground level in part of the contamination area, which is itself up to 14 feet deep. The citations issued Wednesday could lead to potential fines in connection with the incident. However, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission sometimes issues them to all potentially responsible parties in cases when contamination from an unknown source has occurred. This is in order to ensure their involvement in helping to determine the source and assisting in remediation and protective measures while the investigation continues. Williams first discovered soil contamination March 8th in a pipeline corridor adjacent to its gas plant, which is on land owned by WPX Energy. It was doing pipeline location work in preparation for building a new plant on the WPX land. The land belonged to Williams until about a year ago when it spun off its oil and gas exploration and production operations to focus on operating gas plants and pipelines, and WPX was created as an independent company. Part of the ongoing investigation has involved a slow-going process of clearing around pipelines belonging to both companies in the right-of-way to check for leaks. Pressure tests by the companies haven't indicated that any pipeline leaks are occurring. There also are tanks and other infrastructure in the area, including well pads owned by WPX. Former Garfield County Commissioner and State Oil and Gas Commissioner Tressie Haupt said Wednesday the situation suggests that perhaps better testing criteria are needed in the State Commission's pipeline rules. Garfield County has some 10,000 active wells, and Haupt said pipelines are associated with most of them. And finally this morning, Colorado is now the 8th state in the country to allow civil unions for same-sex couples. Governor John Hickenlooper signed the measure into law on Thursday in front of an enthusiastic crowd. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
When Democrats regained control of both legislative chambers last November, they said passing a civil unions law was a top priority, and on Thursday it became a reality. Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver is one of 8 openly gay state lawmakers. He's been working on gay rights issues for 2 decades and says LGBT Coloradans will finally have inclusion in the fabric of society.
This law provides real and meaningful protections to families and couples and children all across our state. This is absolutely an important milestone on our road to equality. I'm very proud to have been part of it and to have worked so long for this day.
Governor John Hickenlooper says signing the bill marked a bright spot in an otherwise tough week after the head of the state's prison system was fatally gunned down at his home in Monument Tuesday night. But during this moment, Hickenlooper put aside that tragedy and had a huge smile on his face.
The gay and lesbian, the transgendered, bisexual community is part of all of us, right? That is part of our community. It is part of our lives, our friends, our families. That there is no excuse that people shouldn't have all the same rights.
Many in the crowd cried, saying they didn't think this day would ever come. And gay rights activists pledged that the fight isn't over. They say they plan to push for full marriage equality. The state constitution bans gay marriage, so that issue would need to go before voters. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.